Sorry?
Yeah, on the table there are kinos. Anyone doesn't have, there is a shul kinos around the table. Yesterday we gave a general hakdama to kinos. Okay, to recap, there are five tragedies that occurred on Tisha B'Av, and corresponding to those five tragedies, it's pretty clear that the kinos are written in the order of those five tragedies, in order. At night, we focus on the Meraglim, came back on the eighth day, and the ninth was the Bechiya Shulchinam, and then in the morning, we begin with kinos for the Bayis Rishon. We segue to the Bayis Sheni, and then we focus on tragedies that occurred post Churban Bayis, which is Beitar, Asora, Harugi Malchus, and then we go into future tragedies that happened later with the First Crusade and Sreifa Satoira and other related themes. And then at the very end, we go to the fifth tragedy of Tur Nufis Roipis, of plowing the Harabayis, Tzioin, Sode, Sechoresh. We have nine kinos that focus on Tzioin. What kind of the pasuk? Tzioin, Sode, Sechoresh.
When did that happen? The plowing of it? That was right.
It's not, yes, it's a very good question. It's not so clear when it happened. It happened at post Bayis Sheni, obviously, post Bayis Sheni. It's not so. Once upon a time, I read something about this. Exactly when did he live? When was Turnus Rupus? When did he live? Good question. Sometime post.
With Rabbi Akiva.
No. I guess so, because Rabbi Akiva saw the fox coming out of the fields. That was when it already was a saga. That's when it was already a Sadeh, so it had to have then been before. It had to then be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was from the last of the Asara Haruge Malchus. Rabbi Akiva died supposedly 52 years after the Churban. The Churban was in the year 70, he died 52 years later. And if Rabbi Akiva, if there's the story of Rabbi Akiva, he saw foxes coming out of the Mokam of the Megdash. Now, does that mean that Rabbi Akiva saw the Sodeh, or did Rabbi Akiva see the Churban? Maybe the Churban was still intact. Maybe there was still an outline of the Beis Hamikdash. I don't know. I don't know exactly when it was. Let's leave it for now. But at some point in time, there's an entirely different category, there's a whole discussion in itself. Why is that
when
called?
When did Rabbi Akiva escape from the
Yerushalayim? He escaped from what?
He
survived the Churban. Rabbi Akiva
lived.
So
he was in the city when the Churban took place, or he had gone out?
No, he probably escaped. He probably wasn't there. I don't know. I don't know the answer. All we know is Rabbi Akiva died 52 years later in the aftermath of Churban Beitar. When the Romans conquered Beitar and they killed everyone in Beitar, he was a survivor. And they got a hold of him, and they murdered him approximately 52 years later after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Also, Rabbi Akiva, he did once go to Yerushalayim with his Talmidim, and he saw the Mokam HaMikdash. Question, did that Maisa happen? Was that before Turnus Rapis plowed the Har Bayis into the Sada, or did that Maisa happen after Turnus Rapis plowed the Har Bayis into the Sada? I don't know the answer. But it is whatever it is. Okay, so yeah, that was one thing. We also discussed the fact that there are 45 kinos. The number is a sacred number. There are 45 klolos in the Teichacha. The goal of the kinos is the mahape klolo levracha. It's an acknowledgement that the Teichacha has come upon us, and it's an act of it's a vidui, it's an acknowledgement, and it's a bakasha that it should be mahape from the klolo levracha. It's a sacred number, 45. We discuss Shomron, which is repeated twice. We say the kinos Shomron at night and Shomron by the day. Because Shomron is a unique kino where it really draws from the Sefer Yecheskel, where there's a conversation between Ahalah and Ahaliva. Ahalah literally means her tent. Her tent means the Aseres Hashvatim, who made for themselves their own Mokai Mikdash. They made a Beis Hamikdash and Beis Hamadon where they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Maybe they worshipped Hashem also there, but it was Shaloi Kedin. They separated into this Ohel Liva, which is an acronym for Ohel Shali. Ohali, my tent, referring to the Beis Hamikdash of Yehuda and Binyamin. And they suffered separately. And we asked the question, for whom is the Churban? Seemingly, the Aseres HaShvatim did not suffer from four of the five tragedies. They were already in exile. So this Kina, which draws from Sefer Yecheskel, which brings together Ohalav and Ohaliva, the Aseres HaShvatim, and Yud and Binyamin, we repeat it twice. We suggest that we repeat it twice, once at night to emphasize the Churban that happened to Ohalah, and we repeat it again the second by day, which we focus on the other four tragedies, which happened exclusively to Ohaliva. Okay, that was a chazara of the entire shir yesterday. Now we are going to move forward. We're going to go to the kinas one at a time, the best that we can. At night, we lay in Eicha. We know that we finish Meiriv. After we finish Meiriv, we lay in Eicha. And this is just as a parenthetical note. When you finish the Shmone Esrei, the Shliach Tzibur, he says Kaddish Shalem, and he says Tiskabel. The most important part of the Shmone Esrei, of the Kaddish, is Tiskabel. May Hashem accept our prayers. When the Shliach Tzibur concludes, after we daven a regular Meiriv, and then we come to the Shmone Esrei is complete, we recite Kadesh Sholem, including Tiskabel, Tzilei Sohoim, Uvah Sohoim, the whole Beis Yisrael. That line is included. Afterwards is our minhag, where we just make Borei Me'orei Ho'ech. We do not make Havdalah. This year it's Mitzvah Shabbos. We do not make Havdalah. If a person needs to eat, if a person has to eat, then he makes Havdalah. Person, for whatever reason, is not able to fast on Tisha B'Av, he makes Havdalah before he eats. Okay, so a person has to eat with Shabbos, he gives doctor's orders, you make Havdalah. You should not make Havdalah on wine, you should make Havdalah on coffee, Chamar Medina. Anything other than wine and grape juice. Even make Havdalah B'Diyad on Coca-Cola. Okay, on juice, or on coffee, tea, but do not make Havdalah on wine or grape juice. When you make Havdalah before you eat, if a person is going to break his fast, let's say 12 o'clock tomorrow, 1 o'clock tomorrow, so you make Havdalah tomorrow. You make the moment before you need to eat, that's when you make Havdalah, and you just say the bracha. You do not say you make Kelly Shuas Yeftach, you do not say that. You just say the bracha. You do not have the summon, there are no besamin, Mitzoy on Tisha B'Av, and you just make the bracha Mavdo, the Kurdish Bechod and Allah Heshach. And you should make it when you're holding in your hand Chamar Medina, which is juice,
not wine,
not grape juice. Either have juice, have coffee, tea, or some beverage that's not an alcoholic beverage. Okay, now, after we do in Shul Bori Mara Eish, we begin Eicha. Eicha has five parakim. In the five parakim, there is a remez to seven multiples of the Aleph Beis. The first parak has, there are 22 psukim in the first parak, ordered according to the Aleph Beis. In the second parak, again, 22 psukim, according to the letters of the Aleph Beis. Each pasuk begins with the letter of the Aleph Beis. In the third parak, we have the Aleph Beis appears three times. Okay, We have 66 psukim in Perek Shlishi. Is that correct? Yes, 66 psukim in Perek Shlishi, because the Aleph Beis appears three times. 22, 44, 66. Each letter of the Aleph Beis gets three psukim. Ani Hagever, Ro'o Oni, Yoshevet and Rossi, that's plus number one, that's an Aleph Ani. Then it's Oisi, Nohag, and Pasuk Gimel is Ach, B. And then Pasuk, then you start again with the Beis, Bila, Bona and Bimachashakim. Okay, then you have one, then you go through. So therefore you have in Perigimel, you have the Aleph Beis three times. Peridalid, you have the Aleph Beis once, and Perek Hey, you have the Aleph Beis once, and then Perek Dal Aleph Beis once. Now Perek Chamishi is different. Perek Chamishi, you do not have the Pesukim arranged according to the letters of the Aleph Beis. So there is no Aleph Beis in the last Perek, but there are 22 Pesukim. It's not mixed up. There is no rule. There is no rule in Perek Perek, but there are 22 Pesukim. Just the fact that there are 22 Pesukim is viewed as an allusion to the Aleph Beis. So Eicha, again, Eicha has five Perukim. Perek, the first, Perek Aleph, Beis, Dalit, have 22 Pesukim. Each Pasuk is arranged, the Pesukim are arranged according to the order of the letters of the Aleph Beis. Perek Gimel has the Aleph Beis three times. So that's already six orders of the Aleph Beis. Perek Chamishi does not have the letters of the Aleph Beis at all, but there are 22 Pesukim. And 22, the number 22, is always a code word for the Aleph Beis. So it's viewed to be as if in Megillas Eicha there are seven arrangements of the Aleph Beis. What is the significance of the Aleph Beis appearing seven times? Because in the Teuchecha it says again and again, Sheva al Chatoi Seichel. Hashem says, I will punish you sevenfold. Sheva al Chatoi Seichel. So even though Eicha has only five perakim, but in the five perakim are seven orders. To the Mekayim Mashen Emar, I will punish you Sheva al Chatoi Seichel. Okay, which is basically a confession. Part of the kinois is to be misvad, to acknowledge. The person's in denial. There's nothing, he's wasting your time. You come on Tisha B'Av, and then go, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. What's this all about here? I gotta sit on the floor, I can't eat. Why? What did I do? What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. You wanna go deny me food and comfort? It's not fair. Then you don't belong here. Then you're right, go home, go do whatever you want to do. You're in the wrong place. If you come into shul, there has to be an acknowledgement of guilt. That's the most important thing, acknowledge guilt. In America, we live in this country, one of the miles of this country is incredible mile of problems, unprecedented in world history, is this country, America, they're very forgiving if you acknowledge your guilt. Person in this country commits the worst possible crimes, and you come forward and you say, Chotasi. You tell the judge, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I committed a crime. I committed a horrible, horrible, horrible crime. Chotasi, forgive me, please. The degree of rachmanis that this country will have upon a person for committing crimes is unprecedented in world history. The problem are the people, that you hear the people that are locked away for good, are the people that refuse to say chotasi. People are defiant, and they comes time for the trial and the sentencing, and the person is moli chutzpah and is defiant and refuses to admit in the very last moment that he did anything wrong, which was no remorse. They're going to throw the book at him. They're going to put him away for good. They're going to torture him. But a person who comes in this country before a court of law and is willing to confess with sincerity, listen, he's going to get punished. They're going to lock him up. But the degree. Go look around, put Qazi, study this, it's incredible. In world history, you never had such a thing. World history, a person commits a crime, they behead him on the spot. Okay, it's over, 1, 2, 3, you're done. You hear the cry, we don't hear you sorry. You're a rebel. Instant death. That's the way it was in world history. This midah is stolen from us. Because like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very forgiving, very, very forgiving. But you have to confess. Hashem doesn't give anyone a freebie. You have to confess. The avodah of Tisha B'Av is to confess. You come to shul, everything is about confession. We're deserving of it. We have sinned. We deserve the punishment. There are 45 klalos in the Teuchecha. We deserve what we got. We have Eicha. There are seven orders in Eicha. We deserve what we got. Sheva al chatoy seichem. Okay, this is a very important principle. Now, after kinos is over, now kinos is very interesting. Kinos are different hugging. How to do Eicha. When I grew up, I don't know what they do today. I remember in the young Israel, it was the minhag where they had five people read Eicha. Each person read a parak. They gave out, they distributed the goods. They had five balabatim, and each balabas, they selected five people, and each one read one parak of Eicha. Okay, that's what I grew up with as a child. Then I got a little older, I went to yeshiva, and there they learned it from klaf. They learned it from a klaf, and I went to Chaim and Chaim, a very unique minhag, which you're not going to find anywhere in America, very, very rare in America. They make a bracha. They make a bracha. There's minhag Yerushalayim, what? No, you don't make a shechiyanu. You don't say to Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we're here, shechiyanu, v'kimanu, v'nyanu. It's true, you're saying a good question. Rav Meir is asking really a very good question. Why not?
What's the lashon of the bracha?
Shehechiyanu. We thank you, Hashem, for giving us life. Vikimanu, we have reached. You are mekayimas. You are mekayimas, and we have reached vikiyanu lazman hazeh.
No.
Now, the question really is a phenomenal question. Why not? What? Well, I know 90% of Klal Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, almost no one in Chutz La'aretz makes a bracha on the Megillah. In Eretz Yisrael, I do not know what they do. It's very likely that many people do. The Minhag Yerushalayim, and let's clarify something. There's something called Minhag Hagra, and there's something called selected Minhagi Hagra. Okay, no one today follows all of the Minhagi Hagra. If you'll take out a Maiseraf, which is basically a diary of how the Gra conducted himself religiously, and you would follow the Maiseraf, that you would think the person is not even Jewish. The Gra's customs were so radical, were so different, you wouldn't even recognize. I mean, he did really, really things that are totally not acceptable. Okay, there are communities that have, they observe selected customs of the Gra. Okay, usually the customs that they select are where it results in leniency. It makes life a lot easier for you. That's what they have selected. Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. It was a yeshiv, a major yeshiv that was established by his Talmidim, the Talmidei HaGra. At the same time that the Baal Shem Tov sent Talmidim, who also established Minhagim in Eretz Yisrael. But the Talmidei HaGra managed to establish a yeshiv in Yerushalayim with their minhagim, which were not all the Gra, selected minhagi HaGra, which has carried a lot of weight throughout the last few hundred years. And many people who have even come to America have adapted the minhagi Yerushalayim. And some of the yeshivas do some of these things, some yeshivas. The Chaim Berlin, they do a lot of these things. Shiva Rabbein Chaim Berlin, they do a lot of these minhagim. And one of the minhagim that they do is, on Yom Tov, they recite two blessings when they lay in the Megillahs. It's not enough to just recite the Asher Kiddushan of the Mitzvah Tzivana or Mikra Megillah. They also recite Shechiyanu V'kimanu V'giyanu L'azman Hazeh. That's a controversial sakala. Okay, in Yerushalayim, it's probably much, much, much more common in Yerushalayim for people to recite both blessings. In America, it's very, very rare. It's very rare. In Lakewood, they do not make any bracha. In Lakewood Yeshiva, in the Chol HaNilvim Olav, you follow the rules in Lakewood, New Jersey. I think they say there are 6,000 families living in Lakewood, New Jersey. At least part of the Yeshiva, not talking about all the new communities in New Jersey, but just in Lakewood, there are 6,000. They pretty much follow the Nusach and the minhagim of the Lakewood Yeshiva. And the Lakewood Yeshiva, they don't make a bracha. They don't make a bracha on Megillah, they don't make a Shechiyanu, never. Now, what about those who...
Do they learn from a klaf?
They do learn from a klaf. They do, many of them do learn, yes, I believe they do. But they do not, they learn from a klaf, they do not make a bracha. In Chaim Berlin, Rav Chodner, when he made Chaim Berlin, he basically, a lot of the things he did were minig Yerushalayim, not minig Hagra, because minig Hagra, there are a million minig Hagra. Selected minhagim, which really is more accurately the minhagi Yerushalayim. It's called the minhagi Yerushalayim, which are selected minhagi Hagra. Not always, some of the other things. And that, those minhagim include making a bracha on Mikra Megillah, and they also go, the next step, they make a Shechiyana. This is a very controversial in the Zeramah, Darki Moshe, everyone likes to dash about this. We spoke about this many times. So when it comes to Tisha B'Av, when it comes to Shechianu, why not? Why not? We should thank Hashem that we're alive. It's not a kleinikite to survive, to live one day. And Tisha B'Av is the day when Mashiach is born. Tisha B'Av is a day of reflection. It is a lot of good to learn from Tisha B'Av. And to merit to live to Tisha B'Av, that's right. Why not? Saying, so the brach of Shechiyanu was not, you would make a brach of Shechiyanu on Tisha B'Av. I think you do. Because you're not making the brach on Tisha, you're making the brach on the mitzvah. On the mitzvah. You're not supposed to make a Shechiyanu on the nine days when you can avoid it. But when you can't avoid it, you're making a bris milah, you don't have a choice. It's the eighth day, you can't avoid it. So I believe you do make a Shechiyanu if you make a bris. Those who make a Shechiyanu, at a bris milah, I believe we'll make a Shechiyanu with your bris milah on Tisha B'Av. Because it's not on the day, you're making it on the child. You shouldn't have to go buy a new suit and make a Shechiyanu when you can avoid doing so.
The father can wear a new suit
on the bris. It's not so simple. The father can wear a new suit. It's not so simple. It's all halachos of work. I ran through it very quickly. I forgot what it said. I don't think so. I think during the 9 days you could, but not on Tisha B'Av itself. It's more chamor. Maybe not even the 9 days. I don't remember. But really, if you think about it, why not? If it's your custom to make a Shechiyanu when you lay Megillas Koheles, when you lay Megillas Rus, when you lay Shir HaShirim, so why should it be a difference when you lay Eicha? Eicha's not all bad. Okay, it's an Avelus Roshana. There's a lot of good, a lot of Musa. Where would Klal Yisrael be today without Tisha B'Av? We'll be in a lot of trouble. Tisha B'Av is not something you just want to brush under the carpet. Tisha B'Av is a very important day in Yavuz, and you can argue that it's very proper to thank Hashem that we merit to experience the Tisha B'Av and extract from it all of the bracha that's in Tisha B'Av, which really, really creates, it's not the right word, it really molds our hashkaf in life. Okay? What you do on Tisha B'Av has a massive impact on your viewpoint. What's the German word? Your Weltanschauung. Is that the right word? Your Weltanschauung. Your whole outline.
Your psyche.
It's in a very important day. And it's not a kleinikeit. So why, Tata, don't you say Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazan azeh? This is an excellent question, and I don't have a good answer for you now. Obviously, probably the most complicated bracha in all of the brachas is the Bircha Shechiyanu. And this just adds another element of mystique and complexity into the nature of the bracha of Shechiyanu, of when you say Shechiyanu, when you don't say Shechiyanu, why, what are the rules, the parameters. And here's another element that really is very mystical. Why, Taka, don't we say a Shechiyanu on Tisha B'Av when we lay in Eicha, for those that have a custom to make a Shechiyanu when they lay in the other Megillas? But the bottom line is, don't try this at home. We don't. Nobody that I heard of makes a Shechiyanu on Megillas Eicha. But making a bracha, I have no doubt, if you go to Yerushalayim, you'll probably find a very significant number of people who will make the bracha.
They make
without the Shechiyanu. Not the Shechiyanu, correct. I have no doubt, if you go to the Kotel HaMaravi and Tisha B'Av, you'll find many, many people who make the bracha on Mikra Megillah from Klaf, of course, Klaf. You have to make your own Megillah from Klaf. Okay, so when I grew up in Young Israel, it's very interesting is that they would split. They would give it out to five. You never had that before. You don't see people lechatchila dividing up the kriya satar. When you can't get a bal kriya, so then you go and you divide it up. So you lay into shayni, shlishi. Okay, you do that. You don't see shuls lechatchila looking to lechatchila to divide up the Kriya Satori. You don't see that.
Originally it was like that.
Originally the one who got the Aliyah, but we don't do it anymore. For some reason, I don't know if it's still common today, but it seems that in very common years ago that there was a chavivus almost. It's a strange thing, a chavivus. The mamish split up Megillas Eicha amongst as many people as you can, at least 5 people. It's an interesting concept. I remember as a child, I remember my cousin, he's a magnificent Baal Kriya, one of my cousins, I was a little child, and he came to the house to deliver for his father. His father was a butcher. And he came and made a delivery. And then he came and made the delivery. It must have been either the day before Purim, maybe with Purim, the day before Purim, maybe 2 days before Purim. And then he came to the house. He was a bacher then. And my mother asked him, are you laying in the Megillah tonight? Because he was a Baal Kriya. He was a teenager. So he said he's doing half. He's in half the Megillah. Megillas Esther. Half the Megillah. And I said, half? Yeah, we split it. I lay in half the Megillas Esther and someone else lays the other half. I was a little kid. Oh, wow, I never heard that before. Someone who can actually take a Kriya and you can split it into two. And that was Megillas Esther. I never saw my whole life in shul someone split Megillas Esther. You ever see this? Did anyone ever see this in shul? I never in my whole life saw Megillas Esther.
The second person have to say a bracha?
Well, the first one makes the bracha. The bracha is for everyone, the whole tzibur. I never saw that happen. Someone split the Megillah into chatchil into two. But Megillas Eicha, for some reason, it appears that it's very common that it's split among few people. There must be a reason why. Okay, again, I got older, they went from class. So we went from class. I guess you're not going to have a 5 people volunteer to memorize the parrot. So there was always one Baal Kriya. It's the beginning of no one's in pain. Mitzvah Shabbos, we just had a sumptuous Su'udah Shalashuddis, which is Su'udah Shloimai B'Shaitar. At that time, no one's on it. Okay, so you lay the Megillah. Okay, the minig is, I think I would imagine, Mr. Mills, what do you hear the Megillah say? So they split it by 5 people? Oh, so you see that? Okay, Machal, what do they do here in Midwood? One person, not from a cloth, right? They lay from a chumash. The one person. Okay, so it's interesting, different arguments. You think you don't have to split 5 people. See that? It's
Eicha. No, it's 5 people.
Oh, yeah, 5 people. Oh, 5 people. Oh, you see also 5 people. Yeah. See? So obviously there's something about it. There's something about Megillas Eicha that's really unique. You don't see this by anything else. It's unique. It has to be understood why it's like that. I have really no idea, but it's something different. Something very different.
Why is Pelikinian being used with different melody?
Oh, so you're
right. You know when you see it, Bashira Shira, the star that you say Shira Shira every Friday,
yeah.
They split it. They don't have one person saying the Shira Shira.
Shira Shira, they split it, what?
Every Friday, the star that say Shira Shira.
The star that you
say. Before Kabbalah Shabbos.
Right. Right.
And what do they do? They split it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that. Okay, Alan, you were saying something? One person in the middle says it?
One person.
Change the minute.
Then they get 5 people to do it.
Okay, they change. Things change. The world changes. The world spins.
It's my own personal opinion. I think the 5 came about because they felt people are starting to fast. It's a little difficult.
It's difficult.
It's
okay, could be maybe one person there.
It was also my Rebbe was. When we talk about one, I once stood up and said, no, one person should
say it.
It's not good that one person should say it.
Okay, it's a mystery. It's definitely a mystery. Why in Megillas Eicha you find many kehilas? I would imagine maybe they got so emotionally involved, one person couldn't make it through a parrot. He started laying one parrot, he broke down and cried. He broke down, he had an emotional breakdown. And he couldn't make it past the parrot. If we really read Eicha the way we're supposed to read Eicha and really feel, really relate to what it says, the question is not why there are 5 people. The question is, why don't we have 100 people? You can't even get through one pasuk. The person begin to read one pasuk, he'll cry, he'll have an emotional breakdown.
Want to have it like Ather Issa? Ather Issa, they sell it, and you go pasuk
by pasuk. You make an excellent point, because Ather Issa is the nigun, we discussed this. Ather Issa is the nigun of Eicha. Eicha Yashua Bodod. Ato hare solo das ki Hashem hu Elokim. Eino, no, it's the same meaning. That's it's not exactly the same meaning. It's pretty close. Not exactly. It's very, very close. But he has. We discussed it last week. He has a whole drasha on this. Rabbi Deviel Gladstein, that the nigun of Ato Horeso is the nigun of Eicha, and you're making a very good point. Ato Horeso, the minhag Yisrael is to give out each pasuk to a different person, So you want to say that that's where it comes from, that just like Ato Horeso is distributed to each person, gets a double pasuk, so to Eicha we divide Eicha amongst many people. That's a very interesting observation. That really is really, really interesting. By the way, the pasuk Ato Horeso Lodas Ki Hashem Elokim is the Kriyas HaTorah of Tisha B'Av. You lay from Parshas Vo'eschanan. What do you lay in Tisha B'Av? You lay actually that pasuk Ato Horeso Lodas Ki Hashem Elokim Eden Mu'vadoi. That's what you lay on Tisha B'Av. So a lot of similarities. There's a lot of overlap. Simchas Torah and Tisha B'Av. The Haftorah says Almo of the Oretz. Al Ozvam Es Terasi. Tisha B'Av really is all about.
Where is that pasuk?
In Yirmiyah. Mm-hmm. In Yirmiyah. That pasuk is in Yirmiyah. We're in Yirmiyah. I don't know. That's the Haftorah. That Haftorah, Al Ozvam Es Terasi, is the Haftorah of Tisha B'Av.
Isn't there a relation with Simchas Torah because.
22 days.
No. That because of the Crusades that they needed people to get more. Get up, the spirits up.
I'm not familiar. Maybe, I don't know. But there's a lot
of. They used to make some story with music and with the apples and the fires. There was a tkufa where the.
Could be. The mechazik. It was a time of mourning. They needed mechazik people? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Not
Tishba,
Simchas Torah.
Simchas Torah. I don't know. Okay, whatever the case is, we lay in Eicha. Okay, we spend a lot of time with this. And the end of Eicha, we repeat the last pasuk. Now we repeat the second to last pasuk. Why do we repeat the second to last pasuk in Eicha? It's because we don't want to end b'dovar ra. And the last pasuk is not a very pleasant pasuk. It says, Ki ma'os me'astonu, kotzafta oleinu ad ma'oid. Although Hashem, ki ma'os me'astonu, although if you have, the translation over here in the article is, for even if you had utterly rejected us, even Hashem, if you have rejected us, still yoytzei. You're already with yoytzei Hashem. You have already raged sufficiently against us, and now is the time for you, Hashem, to take us back. So it's not a very nice thing to say. To talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu has utterly rejected us, and to say to Hashem, "No, enough is enough." So therefore, we don't want to end up with a ra. So we repeat the second to last pasuk: Hashuveinu Hashem Elokim Moshuv Chadesh Shemenu Kikedem. Okay, so now we finish Eicha. After we finish Eicha, we immediately begin Kinois, Kina Aleph. Kina Aleph is basically a repeat of the last parak. The last parak of Eicha, word for word. And in fact, it used to be, in the olden days, this is what it says in the books, they did not add words, Oy, Oy Mehoy Lonu, Oy, Oy. They just read, everyone just repeated the last parak. Okay, after the Shliach Tzibur would lay the fifth parak of Eicha, everyone in the Tzibur would read the last parak in Megillas Eicha straight. So over the years, we've taken the last parak of Eicha and we read every single word. That's what Kina Aleph is. However, we just inject in between the words the word Oy and Oy Mehoya Lam. There are 22 lines here. You start off with the first pasuk and the first pasuk and the last paragraph of Eicha is Zechar Hashem Mehoyolanu Habita Urei Escher Poseinu. Period. So what's the first line in the first kina? Zechar Hashem Mehoyolanu. And then we pause and we say Oy. And then we continue the second half of the pasuk. Habita Urei Escher Poseinu. And we say Oy Mehoyolanu. So we just basically repeat the last parak in Eicha, word for word, and in between each expression, we inject the word Oy, and at the end of the pasuk, we inject Oy Mehoyolanu. And we do this 22 times. And then we get to the end, Well, not exactly, not exactly. We get to towards the end, and then we stop doing this. And the last four psukim, the last five psukim, we just recite continuously. We just say the last five psukim straight from the last parak of Eicha. That concludes the first kina in of the night. Now we go to kina beis. Kina beis, this year you get to say it. Many years you only say 44 kinas. I told you 45 is sacred. It's not really true, because many years you do not say kina beis. When do you say kina beis? Only when Tisha B'Av falls out Motzoi Shabbos. And we have to appreciate, this year I have to appreciate, this is a very unique year. This calendar, the entire year's calendar, is extremely weird. This year we're going through an extremely unique calendar. And one of the unique elements of the calendar is that Tisha B'Av falls out for real on Sunday. Most of the time when we observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday, the vast majority of the time is when Tisha really fell out on Shabbos. And what we do is, since we can't have Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, so we push it off to Sunday. This year, Tisha B'Av does not fall out on Shabbos. Tisha falls out on Sunday. So this year, it's not a nitche. It's the real deal. So when we say this year, Kina Beis, which is only recited on Motzoi Shabbos, it's the real Motzoi Shabbos. Why? What is it? Because it says Vihi Noyam. The first four words are Eich. How could it be Mipi Bein Ubas, that from the mouth of a son and a daughter, Hagois Kinois Rabas, the word Hagois means the sounds, the utterance. The utterance of multiple kinois of lamentations increased. How could it be that in the mouth of a boy and a girl there was an abundance of lamentations that were expressed in exchange for the children singing with shirim, with songs, v'chedvas, and rejoicing? And then the refrain of this kina is v'hi noyam nishbas. The words of Vihi Noyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Masi Adeinu Kon Aleinu Masi Adeinu Koneu. Every Mitzvah Shabbos we recite Vihi Noyam. It came to an end. The words of Vihi Noyam ceased to exist B'Motzoi Shabbos. And this Mitzvah Shabbos, we're not saying Vihi Noyam. Vihi Noyam. Now we have to approve the word Vihi Noyam. Also, you have a lot of background to this whole thing here. We're running out of time. Is when was Vihi Noyam said the very first time? When Aaron HaKoyen came out of the Mikdash for the very first time. On the eighth day of Miluim, when the Shechina descended, Vayered Moshe V'Aaron, Moshe and Aaron, they went into the Mishkan, and they were mispalel, and they brought the Korbanos, and then the Shechina descended from Shemayim and filled up the Mishkan for the very first time. It was the real inauguration of the Mishkan, the inauguration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to rest his divine presence in Klal Yisrael. Aaron came out of the Mishkan and he blessed Klal Yisrael. And Rashi on the Pasuk here says, what was the Nusach, what was the text of the blessing of Aroi, Vihinoyan Hashem Elokeinu Oleinu Masa Yodemi Kon Oleinu Masa Yodemi Kon Neim. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may it be pleasant, your labor, your effort to build this Mishkan. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu find favor in your labor, and may you find favor. So the words Vihinoyan were the words that were said at the inauguration of the very first resting place of Hashem Shechina, of the Mishkan. That is when Vihi Noyam was said. Mitzoy Shabbos, when the week begins, we also say Vihi Noyam, to reflect upon that. But this Mitzoy Shabbos, we're not going to say Vihi Noyam. And when you don't say Vihi Noyam, it's not just that, you know, the reason why we say Vihi Noyam is because it says Ma'aseh Yodeinu, when the work week begins, when the work week begins, we're engaging in ma'aseh yodeinu, and we want that our efforts, our labor that we invest in should have the same success as our efforts that we invested to build the Mishkan. Okay, there was no greater success in engagement of labor than there was no greater success in labor of work like what we did at the time of the building of the base of the Mishkan. And Klal Yisrael invested, Klal Yisrael worked. When Klal Yisrael, they invested and worked hard to build the Mishkan, it was the ultimate success. And the proof is, Aaron blessed Klal Yisrael, and we, when we, Mitzvah Shabbos, when we begin the work week, when we start to work, we also want that our labor should have be pleasant in the eyes of Hashem, should be successful, just like it was successful when we built the Mishkan.
What about Nosav and Nabiyah?
What? That was an exception. Another thing was Navoidah. Another Navi was not in the building of the Mishkan. Another Navi was in the service. Another Navi died because he did a service in the building. The bracha of Yilan was a bracha. Everyone here gave money. They did construction. They donated their skills to construct this structure. Labor. That was a success. Hashem accepted their efforts, and Hashem rests His divine presence. When we go out into the work week and we earn money and provide services and do things to create money, we want that it should be successful. Hashem should find favor in what we do, and we should bring blessing. He should bring success. Just like when Klal Yisrael, they built the Mishkan, they worked very hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was proud of their efforts, and it was successful. And so the two go together. And therefore we say the Hinoyam, and this Mitzvah Shabbos, we're not going to be saying the Hinoyam, because the Chodim, because these are the words that were said by Aaron when the Mishkan was complete, so we're not going to say it. So that's why we dwell upon this theme Mitzvah Shabbos. The words now, over here, the simple meaning of this first expression is, how could it be that the children, the Kinderlach, how could it be that they're crying, they're mourning, they are expressing themselves with elegies and words of kinois when the children should be singing and dancing and having fun? How could this be? And then we conclude the refrain, Yinoyam Nishvas B'Motzei Shabbos. Many of the commentators tell us that what it says here, Beinu Bas, we're not just referring to any ordinary boy or girl. We're referring to the Ben and Bas of Rebbe Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Rebbe Yishmael Kohen Gadol, that he was one of the Asar HaNegev Malchus, and he had a son and daughter. This is an entire kina. I think the Zion is where we mourn Yirmiyah, saw Ruach HaKodesh, what happened to this boy and girl. One was captured by one master, and the other was captured by a different master. They met, and they bragging how beautiful, how talented, how exceptional their captives were, and they came up with this idea: why don't we make them? Why don't we bring them together? They should produce offspring, and we'll sell the offspring as slaves in the market, and we'll make a killing. And they brought them together in the room. Everyone was a story, and each one went into their corner, and each one cried. And in the morning at the crack of dawn, when they recognized their brother and sister, they embrace, and their neshamas departed. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he saw this, he cried, he said something very, this captures the tragedy of the Chodim. The Kina Beis, it's really the first Kina, because the Kina Aleph is really just Eicha. The very first Kina, it's incredible, it focuses specifically on the very opening words of Kina, it's for real. Is the Bein Ubas of Rebbe Yishmael Kornbaba. That's the opening of Kinas. The Bein Ubas. How could it be that they are in a state of pain and mourning when they should be now at a time of their life of Shirim V'Chervas, song and delight? These were children that were marriageable age. They were crying, I should be able to marry a Bas Kohen. I'm a Bas Kohen, how could I be able to marry a slave? I'm an Enikel of Aaron, I'm going to marry a Shifcha. It was a time in their life when they were expecting to marry, to start a family, to experience Shirin v'chedas, and here now in the Churban, look at what has happened. This is the opening line of the Kinas. Okay, we have to keep over the whole thing, obviously. Not that I know anyway. And basically, the Kina Bey is only on the Tzor Shabbos, and again, the focus on this idea of Hinoyam Nishvas, the Tzor Shabbos. Those are very powerful words. Those words were the bracha of the building of the Machmashos Hashrina. It said every Mitzvah Shabbos. This Mitzvah Shabbos we will not say it. And thus, we reflect upon that. Kina Gimel on page 54. Belel ze yivkoyim v'yelimu vonai. This talks about the night of a Bechiyah Shel Chinam. And the Meraglim returned on the eighth day. And they issued their slanderous report about Eretz Yisrael, and the Klal Yisrael accepted the report, and they cried. They cried that night. Hashem took note that they were crying. Hashem said to them, "Are you crying? What are you crying about? I promise you, Eretz Yisrael, it's the land of bracha. You need to cry. I'll give you what to cry about." And it became a bechilu doros. King of Yisrael, I'll show you the first couple lines in this night. Yiv kayum. The Yelilu Vonai, my children, they cry and they mourn. Below Zechara Beis Kodshi, the Nishavu Amonai, my palace, my Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The whole base is shown. Yegu Vigonai, they lament. Yegu is an expression of words in my sorrow. The Yivku Es Hasreifa Asher Sorof Hashem. Okay, goes on this continuous theme describing different expressions of describing the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Towards the end of the Kina, it talks about it, in the last line, it talks about the five tragedies. Belel Zeh, Eru Bo Chomesh Me'oyroins. There were five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. The Bechiya Shel Chinam, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Beitar, and Siyon Tzelis L'Choresh. Gozar Al Ovis B'Fra Peroyis, Hashem, He decreed on our forefathers because they rebelled against Him. This is a very interesting line, because over here the means that it's not only the five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. Throughout history, there have been many, many tragedies that the Hashgacha Prat has happened on Tisha B'Av. When did World War I break out? Tisha B'Av. When did the Jews expel from Spain? Spanish, the Gaelish Sephardic. 1492, when Columbus, when did Columbus go out to discover America? 1492, it was Tisha B'Av. The night of the day of Tisha B'Av was the day, in fact, Columbus had to wait. He was gridlocked. He couldn't go because there were so many ships, everyone was leaving. He had to wait until all the traffic cleared before he could go on his voyage. Tisha B'Av. Okay, they say, when did the Machshavah Zikrov, did they sign the final solution? So there was Erev Tisha B'Av. There was Erev Tisha B'Av. We weren't spoken about this. They met, and that federal deal, they met secretly in this remote location to discuss the plan they had for... What's it called? No, it wasn't. I remember. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. The date is Erev Tisha B'Av. So I once told someone told me no, it was Mamash Tisha because they concluded in the evening. It started in the discussion in the early morning, they concluded in the evening, it was Mamash Tisha B'Av. Okay, I don't know, you have to go. There was
one other event.
Judah expelled from England.
One other event.
March,
Ferdinand.
World War One was on Tisha B'Av. And broke down Tisha B'Av. And the Jews were expelled from England. Okay, then a whole different event also on Tisha B'Av. There were many, many events that happened on Tisha B'Av. So we have a Dovku, Boit, Soros, Rabois, Virois. It says explicitly, it is Galels on this mean Eru, Boit, Chomesh, Mid, Oi, Rois. Those are the five things that we talk about. Gods are always the threat to us. It was decreed upon our forefathers when they rebelled against Hashem, they an expression of rebellion. The dove kubait sorois rabo sirois. Yoim muchon hoyo bitkoya kubois. It's a day that's designated for tragedy. Then mid hoye the hidden call is the ois. The enemy stood his ground. He stood up against us and he raised his voice. And we nisfalu kum ki zeh hayom asher amar Hashem. And we declare, arise. This is the day which Hashem said. Hashem said should be for us a day of tragedy. Okay, that's kina, pretty much kina gimel, kina dalit. So we discussed this yesterday at length, and we'll be again. Shomron. Shomron is a conversation that's taken from Sefer Yecheskel. And Sefer Yecheskel is a conversation between two women who were married to the same husband. A man has two wives, and each one of them suffered. And years later, they come together and they reflect, and they compare notes. And each one says to the other, I suffered more than you, don't complain. Your suffering relative to my suffering was inconsequential. And here, each one, they have a conversation with Aholah and Aholiva, as we said before, Aholah is Aseres HaShvatim, her tent. Aholiva is Aholiba. My tent is in her, Yerushalayim HaKadosh. That is Yehuda and Benjamin, and they compare notes. Aholah suffered in regard to the fact that they never came back. Their punishment was permanent. They were expelled from the land. The Aseres HaShvatim, by and large, did not return. Aholiva did return, but the measure, the degree of pain is incomparable to Aholah. The amount of tsar and torture and continuous forms of suffering over the generations is much more intense than Aholah. So each, what's worse? To be permanently rejected, but not to suffer as much pain, or not to be permanently rejected, but to suffer impossible enduring pain for generations. That's the conversation. And then at the end of this, we have mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaChomer Al Dal, HaChomer Al Delusam. There's a very beautiful psukim to be mispal. Now we come to Kina Hei. Kina Hei is the Mazalos. Ad Ona B'chia B'tzion Mispei B'Yushalayim T'lachim Tzion M'Sidne Chimos Yushalayim Oz V'chat Oino Chorav Mikdash. Okay, this Kina, it's a very beautiful, looks like a poem. It goes through, it's just an expression of grief, and woven into the expression of grief, did the Khalir inject the 12 mazalos. What are the 12? Everyone knows that every month in the sky, there is a unique constellation which Chazal have given words. Tole, Shor, Toimin, Sartoin, Aryeh, Besulim, Oznaim, Akov, Keshes, Kedi, Dili, Dogin. And here in this kina, we mourn how the mazolos were forced to participate and bring about our destruction. And we know we have a principle: Ein mazel li Yisrael. The Jewish people are not subject to mazel. What does that mean exactly? Is there a mazel? Do we have a natural disposition to be part of a mazel? And when Chazal say in mazel li Yisrael, it means through tefillah, we are mispal, we can break out of the mazel. Say means like nino shalacha. Okay, everyone is familiar pretty much with these things, but let me just make one point. When you go to a simcha, when you go to a wedding, what happens? Okay, you go to a wedding, you find parking, or you don't find parking. Finally, you make your way in, you go up to the chassis tish, you go to the smorgasbord, and you look for the mchutanim, you look for the bal simcha, you put out your hand, what's the first thing you say when you come to the simcha? Mazel tov! Mazel tov! You show your face, you shake your hand, you don't shake your hand, corona, you know, mazel tov! Baruch Hashem, I was yoytzei. And then what do? You do whatever you do. Either you eat, you don't eat, you sneak out, you don't sneak out, you enjoy, you have a good time, whatever you do. But the first thing you do is you come in, you have to prove to the balabas, you invited me, I came, you owe me, I came, I'm here. Mazal tov, mazal tov. What does that mean exactly? I don't really know what that means. I read somewhere that it's the biggest bracha you can give a person. I don't know why that's so. maybe once upon a time we wrote something about this. There's something about these words that are very powerful. The whole Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal, I think it's universal. When you go to a simcha and you find the Balei Simcha, you say to them, Mazal Tov. But what do you say to the Baal Simcha? Mazal Tov. That's a brach, right? You're giving the person a brach.
I usually answer amen to that. Not
right, you're supposed to answer
amen. People say thank you.
No, no, you don't say amen. Right, you're supposed to say amen. You're supposed to, when the person says Mazal Tov, you amen. It's a brach. It's very hard to really grasp what exactly the bracha is. We are under the impression, I don't want mazel. I don't want mazel. I want better. Ein mazel li Yisrael. Even if you have good mazel, mazel is finite. You want infinite blessing. You want to say, you want ein mazel li Yisrael, right? You want to break out. So why is it the universal bracha? I don't know the answer.
Why amen?
What? It's a bracha. Mazal Tov is a bracha. You give someone the bracha, the correct thing is to reply, amen. Thank you for the bracha. It's to affirm, affirmation. Kel Melech Neman, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it so. Halavai, halavai, from your mouth to Hashem's ears. That's what amen really means. Kel Melech Neman, may Hashem affirm that this should be true, that your blessing should come true. This is another topic. I don't know. Right. I don't know why it's something so basic. I'm embarrassed. We should understand what we're doing. When you go to a simcha and you say Mazal Tov, that's not what you would say in Judaism. You would say you should be Yor Shemayim and your Kol HaTefillah should allow the simcha to grow and grow. No, you say to the person Mazal Tov. Okay, that needs to be understood. But one thing, all we need to do right now is to be zombies and acknowledge that this is the ultimate bracha. And the proof is in the pudding, because that's what we will do. When you come to Tisha B'Av, you come to Shul.
For me, I heard the word, I want to just throw it out, but I once heard Mazal Tov. It's
Rosh Hashanah.
Mokoyim Zman Lasos.
Mokoyim Zman Lasos. A final place.
Do your job.
Okay. There are different ideas. Different ideas of whatever it means. But it is a very powerful, obviously, it's a very powerful blessing. When you come Tisha B'Av, you come to Shul, right? Come to Shul, Shabbos is over, come to Shul, you look around, turn off the lights, you're getting ready for Eicha. Oh, someone else comes to Shul, what do you say to him? What do you say to him? It's a moed. It's right. It's a moed. It's a festival. No, I'll tell you, this really triggers a memory. I really didn't like this. This really, really rubbed me the wrong way. I once went to a Tisha B'Av program. It was in the afternoon, and they had those speakers, and a speaker gets up, a rav. I really did not like this at all. He gets up at the microphone in front of a very big crowd. He goes, Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov! Good Yom Tov! Today's the Moed. Tisha B'Av is the Moed. Mashiach is born. Come on. Yeah, I know. It's a Yom Tov. I know, but come on. That's not what you do. Right? I don't like it. But he went and said, Good Yom Tov. Come on. You come to Shul Tisha B'Av and you see your friend. Mazel Tov. It's Yom Tov today, right? You know what this kina is? Mazel Ra. That's what this kina is. You come to Shul the night of Tisha B'Av, and you see your friend, and instead of saying to him what you would say to him when you come to a simcha, when you come to an event, Mazel Tov. This kina is, in essence, you're saying to everyone in Shul, Mazal Ra. Chaval. Mitzoy Shabbos, when you do Kiddush Levana, you just said, what do you normally say? Simen Tov, Umazel Tov. Yehelonu, Ulechol Yisrael Amen. That's what you do, Mitzoy Shabbos. That's what we should be doing this Mitzoy Shabbos. Pesach Chodesh, right? 7 days. It's ideal. This Mitzvah Shabbos, we should be going out of Shul, Mitzvah Shabbos, to do Kiddush Levana. And we should look up into the Levana and say the Bracha, and we should say, ah, Kabbalas HaShechina, Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina. Right? Elmoli lezochu Yisrael lahakuk ne'avim shebashon pamachas bashona bachlachol lepamachas bachoydesh lesei bachoydesh dayom dayom and they simin toiv mazel toiv kabolos ne'a shechina tishabov there's no shechina the shechina is gone. There's a churban. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, I gave you a lot of warnings. I beg you that it should not come to this. I beg you that it should not result where my Shechina has to depart and go back to the Shmei Mara. You don't want to listen. What could I do? I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. I went back to Shemayim. There's no Kabbalah Sfinei Shechina this Mitzvah Shabbos. Memela, greet yourself one to another. Mazal Ra.
Why do you publicize it, Rabbi? Why would you want to publicize
it? I'm not the one to publicize it. The Kina, the Mekoinen isn't publicizing it.
You're going greeting people, Mazel Ruh. You are.
It's an acknowledgement. It is an acknowledgement of Chet. The purpose of Tisha B'Av is not just to come to Shul and say, it's not me, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm a tzaddik. The purpose
you
of...
You don't go around Yom Kippur, for example, and say to everybody, oh, by the way, do tshuva. We don't publicize, as far as I know, bad things. We don't go around. You know, we all sin today. We're supposed to do
that. I'm not saying, I want to clarify one thing. Mr. Rapport, I want to clarify one thing. I am no way in the world, saying that you should chas v'shalom say to your friend, mazal ra, chas v'shalom. What I'm saying is the kina, in essence, is doing that. I am not chas v'shalom saying that when you go to shul and you see your friend sitting in shul, you say, oh, mazal ra, chas v'shalom. That's not what I meant to say at all. What I meant to say is, what is this kina? You say nothing. You're not supposed to say a word. When you come to shul, you're supposed to be quiet. That's the halacha. You say nothing. When you do tzuzim avsekas, but you're supposed to sit in hisboididus. You're not supposed to talk to your friend. You're not supposed to greet your friend on Tisha B'Av. That's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say is, this kina is a kina hey, is a kina that describes the mazal ra of Klal Yisrael on this evening. This kina, woven into this kina, are the 12 mazalas. And the expressions of this kina state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directed all of the mazalas in Shemayim to work against us to bring about the Churban. What is that all about? Why in the world would you have a kina that tells you that where we are expressing the mazal ra of Klal Yisrael? Why would you have a kina like that? What's this all about? So I'm trying to explain is that when you go to a simcha, it is customary to say mazal tov. Mitzvah Shabbos, after we mekabel the Pnei HaShechina, we say in the Nusach HaTfilah, Simin Toiv U'Mazal Tov, Yehei Lon U'L'Chol Yisrael Amen. This Mitzoy Shabbos, there is no Shechina. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. We're in Avelus. The Shechina has returned to Shemayim. And therefore, we recite this Kina where we acknowledge and we lament, we mourn, we are misvadeh, that our mazel is ra. Instead of coming to a simcha tonight and saying simin tovu mazal tov yehi lanu l'chol Yisrael amen, we are misvadeh and we are acknowledging that our mazel is ra. This is an expression of vidui. It is also, as we said before, it's a bakasha that it should come to an end, that it should be mishapich from ra to tov. I didn't chas v'shalom mean to say that when you walk in the shul you should actually go and say mazal ra. Of course you don't do that. Chas v'shalom. But this kina is coming to pick up on what you would normally do when you come to a simcha. You come to a simcha, you say mazal tov. Mitzvah Shabbos, you say simin tov mazal yehi lanu chol Yisrael amen. And here you're coming into this day, you're coming to an event, and you have to acknowledge that this event is like none other. It's an event where we're acknowledging the 12 mazalos who are not our friends this evening. They all have been arranged in such a way that we suffer. Go, you jump down to the beginning of where he begins to talk about the mazolos, it's tes. It's arranged according to the aleph-es. Tole rishoin, bocha b'mar nefesh. The tole, that's the first mazlot, cried with bitterness. Al ki chivosov la tevach huvolu. That its sheep, Klal Yisrael, have been brought to the slaughter. Yilola hishmir shor. Shor is the second mazel. It cries, Bamraimin, ki al tzavoreinu nirdovnu chulonu. That upon our shoulders we were pursued by our enemy. And it goes on and on, and it describes all the mazolos are participating in our tzar, or even some expressions seem to indicate they're being used against us to, by Hashem's instructions, to bring out our tzar. Mr. Rapport, am I clear? Is this something that's still bothering you?
No, it's just that I initially, maybe it was my fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's my
analogy, as you publicly go.
No, you can't. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. But this is what the Kina, in essence, is doing. Ordinarily, when you go to an event, what do? The first thing you do when you come to a wedding, you go over to the Baal Simcha and you say Mazel Tov. Correct? Is that correct? Mitzoy Shabbos. When Makabal the Shechina, you say Simin Tov Mazel Tov. Here, you're coming Mitzoy Shabbos to Shul, and even Lav Daf Mitzoy Shabbos, and you're coming. Nu. Who's the Baal Simcha here? There's no Baal Simcha here. This is a house of mourning. There's no Mazel Tov here in this house. There's no Mazel Tov. Tonight is an acknowledgement in the Nusach of the Kina that it's a Mazal Ra. That's what Kina is all about. Okay, now let's read. Hashem is together with us in Sar. Absolutely. Okay, time is up. Then after we finish this Kina, we say Yatok Kadosh. We do not say. You start from you leave out the pasuk Yatok Kadosh. Uvo litzion goyel l'shav efesh of Yaakov. We do not recite Mitzvah Shabbos because obviously Uvo litzion goyel, the goyel is not here. We're saying Tisha B'Av. It's not appropriate. You start Yatok Kadosh. You go through Yatok Kadosh. You conclude like you do Mitzvah Shabbos. But then there's no vihinoyam. You just do what you do Mitzvah Shabbos of Yatok Kadosh, and then you say Kadesh Sholem. But you don't say Tiskabel. The second Kaddish omits Tiskabel. Because it does not go to Ratana Olenu, Kaddish Yosam, and that's it for my Arif. And the mission tomorrow will start with Vav.
Today is the Maran Pano and